Throughout the years, a lot of it had to do with building an authentic community. And I always say that as a founder, you have the superpower of being the direct line of communication to your brand.
Hello, I'm Vivian Kay, and thanks for joining me on this episode of Business Class, Build It Braver, a podcast by American Express. If this is your first time, thanks for checking this out. In every episode, we introduce you to a different small business owner, someone who's trying to do it all. Then we tap into the experiences of a notable Canadian entrepreneur, someone who's grown a successful brand, who can offer firsthand insight into challenges of running a business. We all dream of getting to the top and staying at the top. But sometimes the top is already a pretty crowded place. So in this episode, we're focusing on how you can stay competitive in a saturated market. After all, the presence of competitors means that lots of lessons have already been learned. But the challenges of a saturated market are real. Multiple businesses vying for the attention of buyers, competitors driving market prices, and the continuous drive to improve and be better than the competition. So if you do find yourself operating in a crowded market, what opportunities should you be on the lookout for? How do you compete in that kind of space? These are just a few of the burning questions that our guests will be providing insight to in this episode. Let's begin by introducing our two guests, who come from two highly saturated markets, hosiery and cosmetics. Our first guest started her business out of frustration. Like a lot of us, she needed everyday tights that were high quality and affordable. She was not satisfied with what the market offered. She wanted more. Our second guest knows a thing or two about rising to the surface in a crowded pool. She's the co-founder of a popular beauty brand that's revolutionizing the way we use makeup. I can't wait to get into it with these two amazing people. And make sure you listen to the end to hear key tips on how to overcome a saturated market. Let's get started. As an investment banker, Xenia Chen needed to wear tights. It was part of her daily uniform. She was tired of reaching for tights that had been torn or had holes in them. She soon realized that good quality tights that could meet her needs were scarce. Thus, the birth of her company, Threads. If you aren't familiar with Threads, it's a Canadian direct-to-consumer tights and nylons brand. So instead of taking a drive to that department store or the late-night drugstore run, you can now have them delivered straight to your doorstep. Xenia Chen, you're my personal hero. Welcome to Build It Braver.
Thanks so much for having me, Vivian. Great to be here.
So a lot of people, when they start businesses, set out to create a new niche, create brands that have little or no competition. But you took on the big names and big brands. So tell me about finding the courage to do that. How did you discover that there could be a market for you in this space?
You know, this sounds so silly, but I actually didn't think about just how saturated the market was before I started. Of course, there are thousands of hosiery brands out there, but what I was really seeing from speaking to product users, so women who are wearing tights, was that they were deeply unsatisfied with what was currently out there and available to them. So in my mind, those thousands of hosiery brands may as well have not existed. You know, I actually think it's a much tougher sell if you're in an industry with two brands, but everyone who's a product user absolutely loves those two brands and have nothing to change and are super unwilling to try another brand. When I sent out my customer research survey at the beginning of the process, I think it was like 90% of respondents said they were willing to try another brand. So it was crazy, right? And that's how I knew that there was absolutely an opportunity out there to create a product that truly resonated with people.
Xenia, let's talk about business model here. So it's direct to consumer, which is a first that I've heard of, especially for hosiery. Mm-hmm. So how does that work in the context of your business?
In a lot of traditional brands, you have the factory and then you have distribution markup, and usually there's a branding markup and then there's probably a retail markup. So all those markups, they get paid for essentially by the customer. So we own our own brand, we do our own distribution, and you know, for the first 3 years, we were completely online. So essentially what we're doing is we're passing on the savings to the customers. What they're getting is a high-end luxurious pair of tights at a fraction of what they would be paying if they were at a department store.
let's talk more about the market. So tell me, who is your ideal target audience?
So our ideal target audience has changed quite a bit since the beginning. When we first launched, we thought it was going to be millennials, you know, young professionals, maybe age 25 to 45. As we've grown, we've realized that not only is our target market women, but there's also a ton of men who wear hosiery. You know, at one point it was 50% of our customers because, you know, women will wear hosiery out mostly, but men will wear them out, but they'll also wear them at home. Beyond that, I think we've realized that the true product evangelists are actually, you know, women and men who are 45 plus.
So how competitive is the space and how do you manage to stand out?
It's competitive as in there are thousands of incumbent brands out there, but a lot of these brands, they're not very good at innovation and speaking to the modern consumer. When I started in 2018, there weren't a lot of new hosiery brands and companies out there. And since then, there have been, which I think is very exciting for the space because you need that innovation. You know, it's good for the consumer. It's good for the companies. So it's competitive.
So let's also talk about pricing. How exactly expensive or inexpensive are your tights? And where do you fall in comparison to other brands?
Hosiery it's interesting because you can buy a pair of tights for $10 and you can also spend up to $200+ on a pair of tights. So everyone has a different appetite. Most of the people that I've talked to during my R&D research process, they love the feel of the luxury European brand tights because they're comfortable, they're well made, they're relatively well designed with good quality yarns, but they don't like the price. So what we were trying to do is how do we replicate this quality? How do we replicate this luxurious experience, but try to price it as fairly as possible to be able to make this product?
Okay, I'm thrilled to bring Taylor Frankel in here. She's the co-founder of the beauty brand Nude Sticks. She is absolutely revered in the beauty business. Taylor turned to new opportunities in an industry thought to be long saturated. Makeup. She created a signature crayon style of makeup for hashtag babe bosses. Her brand places value on a clean makeup routine and has vegan options. And their packaging, well, you can't help but be attracted to it. No wonder their brand is the go-to for so many millennials and Gen Zers. Lucky for us, on this episode, Taylor Frankel of Nude Sticks will be sharing some of the beautiful secrets, pun intended, to succeeding in a very competitive multi-billion-dollar beauty industry. Taylor Frankel, welcome to Build It Braver.
Thank you so much, Vivian. What an incredible introduction. That just increased my ego. Thank you so much.
So Taylor, you're in a very, very competitive industry. What differentiates you from the other big players?
So when we launched Nude Sticks, this was 2013, 2014. The inception of the brand was really in 2011 and 2012 when firstly, social media was just beginning to become a marketing platform and channel for a variety of brands. And back then, if you went to YouTube or if you walked into a beauty retailer or if you flipped through a magazine, really all you saw was more is more. I mean, more color, more artistry, more makeup.
Highlighted to the gold.
Exactly. And so we felt there was this really big gap in the market that was in between your skincare, so really, truly no makeup, and your artistry makeup. And so that was really a point of differentiation at the time. Going back 8 years ago, it was about less is more, no makeup, makeup, easy to use, and minimalism.
So let's talk about the underlying ideology of your makeup brand, deciding to go clean, but luxurious, and using award-winning ingredients. Why exactly did you decide to go this route?
My mom comes from an extensive beauty background. She's a chemical engineer, so she's been designing beauty products for a very long time. When it came to the inception of Nude Sticks and we would talk about what we felt was missing in the industry, my sister and I would say, well, there's really nothing out there that is suitable for our skin type. My sister at the time, she had really bad acne. She had eczema as well. So she would react to everything. Myself, I had super irritated skin. My mom, being more of a mature woman, she also felt like she couldn't find anything that was suitable for her skin type. So we really wanted to find formulas and ingredients that were suitable for all skin types. So we were really more concerned with what's not in our product.
I love a good entrepreneurship journey, so I would love to hear about the product that started it all for NudeStix. And where have you gone with your brand and product line since that first product?
When we first launched, we launched with all stick products. So we only had pencils. And the reason we launched pencils was because my sister and I at the time were not experts in makeup and beauty. And we were very confident in what we didn't know. And so we just wanted something that was easy to use, that we can draw and smudge with our fingers. We didn't need tools. We didn't need brushes. Our lip pencils, when we first launched NudeStix, were about, from a sales perspective, about 30% of our business. And then as we grew, we really felt like we needed to take those clients and make them loyalists. And so how do you make a beauty customer loyalist? It's really through complexion and products that they're replenishing. So that's foundation, that's concealer. For us, it's actually, in addition to that, it's nudies, which is our blush, bronze, and glow category. We actually sell one nudie globally every 2.5 minutes.
You're listening to Business Class, Builder Braver, and I'm Vivian Kay. With us on this episode are Taylor Frankel, one of the ingenious brains behind beauty and skincare brand NudeStix, and Xenia Chen, the brave entrepreneur who's taking on the big tights and hosiery manufacturers by developing her unique brand, Threads. I can't wait to hear what else Taylor has to say about spotting the types of market saturation that exist. Plus, I'm going to ask her for her top tips on how to overcome a saturated market as a small business owner. That's next. But first, here's a quick suggestion. If you're a small business owner, when this episode is over, go and check out American Express Business Class. This is a fantastic online resource that provides modern education through compelling stories, timely tips, and inspiring insights from business experts, industry leaders, and savvy entrepreneurs. It's basically a whole world of great ideas for today's business leaders. You can learn more at amex.ca/businessclass. Okay, let's get back to our conversation with Xenia Chen and Taylor Frankel. The best strategies to overcome a saturated market might not be a one-size-fits-all approach. You first have to understand your brand, the existing market space, the key players, your customers' wants and needs, and how you fit that bill. So let's talk about your secret to being a successful entrepreneur, Taylor, and especially in a saturated market like cosmetics. So how do you stand out in such a crowded market space?
It's so difficult to stand out. And in the beauty industry, you know, you really have some powerhouses that have a huge marketing budget, you know, huge retail support. I think for us, throughout the years, a lot of it had to do with building an authentic community. And I always say that as a founder, you have the superpower of being the direct line of communication to your brand. There are so many large corporate brands out there that will try and replicate the authenticity by paying for a celebrity to be the face of their brand. But the consumers are so smart and they see right through it. So I think by building that authenticity, by speaking directly to your customer every single day and knowing what they want and listening to them and developing products that resonates, that is such a superpower.
So Xenia, what kind of market share are you holding right now and what's blocking you from growth?
So right now we are shipping to Canada and the US, and we're also in a few select retailers in both Canada and the US. And our plans this year are to expand to the UK and the EU, just because we're getting so many customer inbounds about that. But, you know, it's hard to ship globally with the rising shipping costs. And if we do it, it has to be slow and steady and done thoughtfully.
So Taylor, listening to Xenia talk about Threads, it sounds like they're doing very well. But as always, they could do better in expanding their market.
One of the beautiful things about direct-to-consumer is that you do have access to, you know, your global market. I definitely think identifying markets that are easy to get to and have a huge market share. Maybe when you're launching, it's less global because there's a lot of logistic issues and struggles and CapEx that comes with launching globally. I know that even on NudeStix.com, we're struggling with launching globally just because of the shipping costs. It's not worth it for us to ship to Australia. They're paying a ton. Let's focus on the US and Canada and really build it.
So curious to know from your viewpoint, would you recommend expanding to a new market via DTC or retailer or a mix of both?
I actually love that, Xenia, you mentioned your customers being in certain markets and asking for your product. And I think that's step one, is identifying where your customers are. Obviously, if you had one customer in Italy, for example, who's asking, it may not be worth it because it's just one customer. But if you do notice there's a, you know, opportunity in a certain market, the investment is there and it's worth it from our experience launching D2C first and then seeing the outcome from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So Taylor, after all is said and done, what should business owners like Xenia focus on in the short term and in the long term for their business in order to stand out?
So I would say short term, making sure that you're looking into that data on a daily basis so that you have more opportunities to win and to pivot and adapt if needed. The landscape is evolving so quickly. So making sure you're observing all the time and really task your team as well to identify what are the latest trends? What are new ways that we can speak to our product? And then long-term, I think product is king, right? At the end of the day, as much as you can create all of the amazing content and community, if you don't have an amazing product, you're not going to have a sustainable legacy brand because people aren't going to come back.
That's super helpful. I think customer service is so slept on by so many brands out there. And people really care about that nowadays. We've noticed that in so many of our reviews, people talk about our product, but they also talk about our customer service. I think it's just another way that an early stage company can stand out from the powerhouses out there.
So Taylor, from your experience, what are two key ways to succeed in a saturated market?
One, have an emotional reason to exist. This is your why. Really understand your consumer and what they want and speak to them in a way that resonates with them in an authentic way. And don't be afraid to be vulnerable with your community as well and really take them behind the brand and behind the scenes and have them really invested in the growth of your company. Second is having a rational reason to exist. So really ensuring that your product or service that you have to offer, you're bringing innovation and you're really filling a gap. And whether that's a gap or a solution for yourself or for another community, really ensuring that you're bringing something to the table that allows you to create a sustainable business model.
Taylor, what are some final thoughts that you have for Xenia?
Just really trialing different things. And often certain things won't work and that's okay. And I think as cliche as it sounds, it's those failures that will really lead to growth. You cannot let fear hold you back from taking those leaps or making those decisions. It's better to make a decision than none at all. Because as leaders, I think that transparency of imperfection is healthy and allows you to breathe more so in your day-to-day. You're doing all the right things and I'm excited to get my threads.
Aw, thank you so much. No, this is so much fun and thanks for all the tips and your wisdom.
Yeah, well, I have a lot more wisdom to learn.
Don't we all?
So it's a work in progress.
Work in progress. It's been amazing to listen to these two gutsy entrepreneurs share how they're taking on big name brands in their quest to cater to their target audience. It's definitely not for the faint at heart, but if you plan your approach carefully, like these two amazing women, you can achieve great things even in a saturated market. Taylor, hearing all about Nude Sticks and your passion for skin and beauty products with a twist has been inspiring. And Xenia, your courage in carving out your own market for threads is exemplary. Thanks to both of you for coming on Build It Braver and sharing your business stories and insights.
Thank you so much, Vivian, for having me on the podcast. And Taylor, it was such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much, Xenia. I love speaking to you. I loved hearing your story and good luck with everything. I'm sure this is just the beginning for you.
And thank you for listening. If you like what you've heard, I hope you'll subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. And don't forget to tell your friends about us. We business owners need to stick together. Plus, remember to go to American Express Business Class online to find all kinds of valuable resources and suggestions. And on the podcast, we've got more incredible business mentors coming your way. So keep checking out the show. I'm Vivian Kay, and thanks again for listening to Business Class, Build It Braver by American Express. And may you continue to prosper.